live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
And you guys don't know really the message I have that God gave me. He just performed it once again. He gave me an example. So you guys don't even know why I've got this big Kool-Aid grin on my face. But I'm about to tell you. Because it kind of flows right into what I believe the Lord wants to share with us today. But I'm going to tell you, Ivy says, while we're rehearsing today, this morning, she says, hey, let's do Hark the Herald. And I don't know about you guys, if you know this or not, but you only do these songs, well, of course you know this, but you only do these songs around Christmas time, right? They're Christmas songs. But the problem is, as a musician, you learn them for that season, and you don't really commit them to memory, and they get rusty because you stop touching them until Christmas rolls around. So Ivy said that, and if you saw these chords, I'm reading chords, I'm not reading sheet music, and so I just have a little symbol that might say a C, and I know that has a C, E, and G in it. I know the keys that make up that chord. And so in these songs, the praise team was laughing because when we looked at that song, it is chock full of different chords to try and make it sound like the sheet music. And so we were kind of looking at it for the first time today and messing around with it. But you know what? I just played that perfectly. I did not miss one of the notes. Now, trust me, I expected to miss. You might not know this, but you might not notice how many times I mess up when we're playing. But I anticipated that this song was so difficult when I first started working with it that, oh, surely I'm trying to do a little bit of sight reading here. I'm going to jack it up. But wow, God allowed me to hit every note. So I'm like, hey, you are a good God. Amen. So listen, it's so good to see all of you. And Pastor Rob, we know is, I'm going to try to remain respectful. I love Pastor Rob, but I kind of hate him right now. No, I'm teasing. I'm joking. No, but he called me yesterday. He says, brother, I just want to check in with you and see how you're doing. How's everything going? We talked about Thanksgiving and the different things going on. And I said, yeah, so what did you do? I don't know why I asked this question, because I know every year he goes down Thanksgiving. He gets to watch the Dallas Cowboys play, and he's in the box. And they have Thanksgiving in the box. Whoop-de-doo, he's got a son-in-law that works for Dallas. So I'm kind of hating right now. No, I'm teasing. So anyway, I told him Ivy's meal was better than what they had anyway, so no. But listen, I want to talk to you, and I'm not going to take, I know, I when you think about what you're going to share, you hear yourself saying things to the congregation before you do it. Anybody who gets up and preach, you know you kind of hear yourself going through certain steps. And as I was telling myself this, I kind of laughed. Because I really thought in my head, I'm going to tell them, I don't really see this being a long message. And I laugh, but I always say that. I don't think it's going to be long, but then it goes on. So I'm going to try to do a good job of only giving you what God wants and not having any of the extra fat that would take up time. But I do know God has a specific thing he wants to speak to us today. And I'm just going to tell it to you the way he told me. Actually, I even wrote it down, and I'm not one who writes down everything I need to say. I give myself outlines, but I actually wrote this one down. So try to hear this. God has set me to help you turn the switch back on for your faith this morning. God still has work for us to do, so we cannot allow ourselves to stay or become complacent with the status quo. So I'm like, God, we've heard about faith over and over and over. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you've worn faith out probably. But what God wants us to do today, and if you're new here or a new Christian, I want to make sure I don't assume that you know everything. So we're going to make sure we hit what God wants us to hit, and I don't mean to miss anyone. But a lot of times what we do as believers is we get real comfortable with what we know, and we think we got it, and we don't touch it. Kind of like that Christmas song, we only touch once a year. And still, when I come back to it, it's like, wait a minute, how's this go again? What are the chords? And God, that's not acceptable for us in Christ. Because when the enemy comes on you, you don't have time to reset and relearn. Amen? You got to be ready. So let's open up with prayer, and then I'm going to get into what God has given me for you. Father God, we just thank you so much for what you're doing today. I thank you for everyone here and that we have ears to hear what you want to say to us. Father God, speak to us clearly. We want all of you, Lord God. Only the things that you have to say, let them remain. And we thank you for it right now. Yes, we know the enemy will try to come and pluck up revelation and cause suffering because of the revelation. But we come against that, and we know that your word will accomplish what you send it out to do. It will not return to you void. And so, Father God, I thank you for the fruit of this word today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's the deal. God gave this to me as an example, something you can all identify with. So we're going to go through some scripture, but we're also going to bring it down to real life. A lot of times I think we hear scripture and we hear about stories, but then we don't always hear, how can we tie it in to what are you living right now? How does it work right now? So God was showing this to me, and he showed me how, and what I'm talking about is our faith. Why does God want to flip the switch back on our faith? Okay? So, imagine having a room in your house. No lights are on. It's totally dark. But you can navigate that room, that house, without bumping into chairs, without bumping into tables, without running into walls. Sometimes we stub our toe, and that hurts very bad. But most of the time, we don't. With the lights totally out. And God said, at times, this is how we are with our faith. We've learned our territory so well. We know it. There's nothing shifting on us. So we're walking around in a room that is dark, and we're so certain that table is there. Like right now, I can close my eyes. I can walk just by seeing how far away I am from that table. I can close my eyes and start walking and pretty much know where I'm at in this room. And I can navigate this room. And so we get self-reliant, and we stop even anticipating anything new from God. You know, I believe if we were in certain areas, they probably see miracles so much, they would think it's strange that how many, if they probably would ask this type of question. We wouldn't ask this question here. How many people rose from the dead today at Bethel? Now, you ask that question once, how many? Some places, they're seeing craziness going on all the time. So they're like, how many? How many people had limbs grow out? Now, those are the type of questions they have. And guess what? They could get complacent in their place. Because maybe if you see 10 healed, maybe God wants it to be 20. But as we are, we get fixed into what we know and what is comfortable and what is safe. And we become complacent. The word I have for you today, I believe God wants to shake us up and to kick start our faith again. Not just so we can say, hey, my faith is strong, but because there's something coming and it's baking now. We're seeing it now in the world. We're seeing a climate change. I'm not talking about weather, but I'm talking about spirituality. And the type of struggles that we have to address, they have changed. And God wants the church to not be comfortable and think we can navigate this room because we've always navigated this. We know what's going to happen, so we pretty much can do it with our eyes closed. And he said, no, I want you to wake up. Wake up. There is something in front of you you have not encountered yet, and I need you to be ready to encounter this. You cannot allow yourself to go, you know, earlier this year, and now don't laugh. I know you can't tell by this physique, but January, February, and the end of March, I was doing CrossFit. I was starting to get in shape. But when I first went back to do that, notice I said that time period, I was doing CrossFit. But when I was in high school, I used to bench press about 370 pounds. I had some buddies who did 400. I didn't like them. But anyway, I used to be able to throw it up. But now all these years, I went back and was going to do CrossFit, and there was a bunch of women, mostly women in there, and they were fit. And there was this one lady I was partnered with, and she was squatting stuff with me and benching stuff. I'm like, I mean, of course, yeah, I threw it up, but here she is just bam, bam. She's just throwing it up. I'm like, goodness gracious. And so I didn't realize over time I hadn't worked those muscles. And so here I'm still thinking I got this thing, but no, I had lost so much. I'm making a point. I'm making a point. That's how it is with us and our faith. We get so comfortable that we're going to come here. We're going to do praise and worship. There's going to be an offering. There's going to be announcements. You know, there will be a message. We might have some food afterward. And we pretty much will get on out of here in a good time. But what happens when God says, I want to interrupt? I don't want you to be able to navigate this thing blindfolded. I want you to anticipate something fresh and new. I want you to look for me to come in. And if I start healing everybody in here, you understand you're not getting home for dinner.
That's right.
So it's like dinner or seeing all of my family in church get healed. And see, I see you as family. I see you as family. So when I say that, I do not take that lightly. If I know that God is going to heal you, and I can say all of you are 100%, you are healed spiritually, you are healed in heaven, you are healed. I'm talking about a manifestation here on earth as it is in heaven. If I knew that could happen, and God said, the only thing you got to do, Otis, is I know you were going to go to the play tonight. I know you're going to the show tonight, and you're going to take your family out to eat. All you got to do is stay here, and I'll heal every single one of them. I got to be willing to stay here. I want him to interrupt my agenda. I want to have my eyes open so I can navigate and see what is coming and know how to deal with it. Amen. God gave me this little word for you, and it's something that has always proven true, and we're going to look at some scripture here to back it up. He says, remember God's provisions come with his directive. So check it out. God provides along with his directive. When God tells you to do something, he doesn't tell you to do something and didn't tell you to go find the resources. He already has a plan in mind, and he says, I want Tony to do this thing. And I'm taking this over to her because I'm going to tell her what to do, and I'm giving her the goods. Everything you find, he says, praise him. Every breath you breathe, you're breathing out something he lent to you. And he says, let everything that has breath praise me. Praise ye the Lord, right? You have breath. Who gave you that breath? God breathed into man, and he became a living soul, right? So here God breathes into you, not only once, but he allows you to keep replicating that breath. What a good God. And then all he does is say, hey, can I have some of that? Can you use that breath I've given you to give me some praise? Can you? Everything God has for you to do, he's given you the provisions. Amen? I'm trying to encourage you in your faith. Some of us don't step out because we don't see the provisions yet. He does not, you won't see provision until you get aligned. When you show up where he wants you, the ball will be there. I'm sorry, I'm going into my football analogy here. But the quarterback, he throws where you're supposed to be. He doesn't throw where you are. Some of us, we're staying where we are, and we say, throw the ball to me. He said, no, move. Move to where I want you. So you can get the ball. God gives you instruction and a directive, and he has already given you the provision. So listen, there's nothing that he's told you to do that he can't take care of. He's made provisions for you. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. All right, now I just want to encourage you. You're going to hear familiar scripture. Well, some of it. Do not say, oh, I know this scripture. I don't have to turn to it. That's walking in the room with eyes blind. Okay? You don't know. God's going to reveal another part of his word. We've heard this scripture over and over. But let's anticipate God showing us something fresh today. When you're there, say amen. Hebrews 11, I'm going to read through verse 1 through 3. And it's very familiar, but I want to break it down a little bit. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By it. By faith, the elders obtain a good testimony. Amen. We're going to come back to that. And if you look in verse 3 there, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. All right. So we're going to go back to the top here, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is a now thing. We've heard this over and over and over. So now never stops till you're done. Then you're in eternity with God. Amen. So now, faith is. It's a substance of things you hope for. Now, this is kind of weird to try to get your head around. But a substance is something tangible. Something you can grasp either physically or with your senses or see in some ways. Your senses have to be involved, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So now let's break it down to where you are. You have things that you hope for. But your faith is what I get to see that tells me you have a hope. There's something tangible that you create in showing your faith for whatever it is you hope for. That's just the first part of that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. All right, so when we say we have a dream, when we say we have a goal, there's something God's given us to do. Would anyone be able to see it materialize by your movement before it actually is visible? I'm not trying to lose you here. Okay, let me give you an example. this is something the Lord told me a long time ago. We cannot see the wind. Right? Do we believe there's wind? Why? Because you what? Because you feel it? Good. You feel it? You can see leaves moving as the wind blows. I don't actually see the wind, but I see the effect of it. There is a substance to wind. And yes, I know a scientist could come and get special machines where he actually could see the wind moving. I do know this. But understand, if the wind was not blowing, you would not get to see the effects of it. When the world looks at us, they don't want to hear us talking about our faith. They need to see faith in movement, because that's the substance they can draw to and say, this person has a hope in something. That's just the first part of that. I'll come back to it. But then on the second part of it, it says, the evidence of things not seen. And I always think of a policeman collecting the evidence. So your faith is the substance of things hoped for, something you're hoping for. There's faith behind it, and it causes some type of movement. That movement creates evidence of something not seen. So listen, oh my goodness. T.D. Jakes used to say that he would just hear, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. And T.D. Jakes would work, and people would look at T.D. Jakes. He would have several services at his church in West Virginia. Was it Charleston, wasn't it? I think his church was Charleston. But he would have several services, and people would come, and he just started, people would just, he would do what God told him to do. He would keep doing it. He would do it with a fervency that people would just look at him, and it's kind of like he's out of place. Because he's going after this thing. Does he know he's in West Virginia? But the way he went about it told people, that cat's going somewhere. There's evidence that there's a faith. There's a substance to his movement. And I can see faith moving in this guy. He's going somewhere. And even though it's invisible right now, that guy sees something that he sees in the heavens, and he's trying to pull it down. This is all important because guess what? The devil knows the truth of the word. So his goal is to tell you, this is it. This is as good as it gets. This is what you can expect. This is your life. This is your measure. So if the enemy can get us to be happy with a room that is gorgeous, seems like you got a lot of money, seems like you got all the material things you wanted, seems like everything is gravy, but you're walking around in that room blindfolded and you're not bumping your toe, you're able to navigate that room, and even though God's trying to bring new pieces into it, you can't see that. And the devil says, well done. Don't anticipate. Listen, you cannot have hope when you don't see. When you don't have vision, you have no hope. Okay? So our enemy is coming in, and he wants us to only see a limited portion and only expect a certain amount of things. But God, he wants to see, what do we hope for? Does the world see evidence of your faith? They don't want to hear it. They need to see it. Amen? Now, Seth was laughing at me, and he's not in here, so that's cool. But Seth, his sister can sleep in the dark. Seth has never, 12 years old, I think he's going to be married and still have the light on. So he never sleeps in the dark. The other day, he's following me because I had something in my room. Yeah, I had his cell phone in my room. And he was following me. The house was pitch black. And he was nervous as he's following me. He's like, how are you doing this? I said, what are you talking about? I mean, I'm turning corners. I'm walking. And he's like, how are you walking around in total darkness? I need light. It just cracked me up when he said that. I said, son, I know this room. I know where I'm going. I know what God is doing. No, I didn't say that. I know what God is doing, son. Your father is spiritual. No, seriously. But the fact is, I just knew the room, and he felt uncomfortable because he had to have the light on. I think God wants us to flip the switch and turn the light on in our faith. It makes us see things that are out of line, and it doesn't feel good, but it's okay. Amen. So I want us to, this is the title. I'm sorry, I went through all this, and God actually did give me a title, and I want us to say it. All right, so it's get your faith dirty. Say that, get your faith dirty. Don't hide it, use it. Let's say it one more time. Get your faith dirty. Don't hide it, use it. Seth has a pair of shoes on today. They're white. They look real good. Are they Reebok or something like that? I can't remember what they are. But anyway, he likes those shoes so much, he keeps them put away. He doesn't use them much. Ivy had to tell him today, son, those shoes are so nice. Stop wearing those ugly ones. Put on the other ones there. And so he put them on. And it just made me think about that. God doesn't want us to return faith to him and say, oh, look how precious it is. It's gorgeous. I made sure it has no dents in it. I made sure it wasn't scuffed up or tarnished. I pretty much didn't use it, God. Can you imagine that? I pretty much, no, you'll be happy to know I didn't use it. We know good and well. He wants us to use it. Amen. So I want to look at, let's look in Joshua. Let's look in Joshua 10. Now this, I'm going to read, I might skip pieces of it, but it's a longer, it's one verse 1 through 15. I might skip some of the words or some of the names and start reading off kings and things like that. But I'm going to pull out the pieces that I know God wants to share. After all is said and done, our goal is for you and myself included to dust off the things God told us to do and to really understand we have a lot more to do, and where we are right now is not where he expects us to be. He's like that quarterback saying, get to where I told you and the ball will meet you there. We've got to get to where he wants us to be. Amen. So, okay, if you're looking in Joshua 10, I'll just start reading there at the beginning, and I will ask for forgiveness in advance. So if I jack up these names, don't come. If they're family members or anything, don't have them. Come look for me. All right, verse 10. Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it. I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it. This king heard about Joshua and something he had done. All right, let's just tuck that away for a minute. As he had done to Jericho and its king. Wait a minute. Joshua done something. Forgive my English. He done something. Joshua went and did something powerful to Ai, destroyed it. But not only that, even Jericho. And this king heard about it. So he had done to Ai and its king, okay? And how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai. and all its men were mighty. Oh, shoot. My goodness. I could go for a long time on this scripture alone. Listen. When we execute or practice or move out on our faith and do the things God tells us to do, He shows up. He shows up and He shows up for us and causes great things to happen, right? But it's not just so we can say, oh, look how great it was. He's trying to build up a resume for you so you can execute His work in the earth. And so here we've got these guys here. This king is checking out Joshua and his resume. And wait a minute, I know what this cat did at Jericho. I know what this cat did at Ai. And he went and messed up some stuff. And not only that, this Joshua has learned how to make peace with the people of Gibeon. And those guys are bigger than Ai. And they're great, mighty men of war. Right? So this king is talking about this, and already he is getting faith or fear for what the outcome will be. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Many times we win or lose on how we think and how we see. Wouldn't it be awesome to have developed such a resume that when the enemy says he's going to come and try to take you, that he has to think, wait a minute, I can't just show up myself. We got to go and get some help because this cat is strong. This Randy, she'll beat you up. That darn Jenny Daly, we've tangled with her before, and did you see what she did to that devil? Slapped him up. That's what we want the enemy to do. We want him to understand we come in the name of the Lord God, and we are ready to do battle. We have practiced. We haven't played around. We're not walking around with blinders on and just saying we're going through the motions because we've done it before, been there, done that. We've got the T-shirt. No, God wants to do something. He wants to do something. So check it out. This is what that king did. Verse 3, therefore, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem. Now, I will tell you, even as I was reading through this, I trip a little bit because Jerusalem is supposed to be a holy nation. Okay, but at this given point, there's a different king in there doing his thing. All right, so timing is important. There's things shift hands. But anyway, that's another subject. Therefore, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Horam, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhia, king of Lachish. I don't know if I'm saying these right. And Dibur, king of Eglon, saying... Now notice, he went to that many kings and pulling them together, right? And he says to them, come up to me and help me that we may attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon and made war against them. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us. So they asked, we know the king, Adonai Zedek, had gotten help. because he already heard about Joshua. He knew he was going to have to come with a sure enough fight, and he got these kings together. And now this group that had, this nation that had befriended Joshua, remember Joshua and Caleb, Joshua's a mighty man, right? And so he's befriended these guys, or Joshua, and needs help. Amen? And so he's asking Joshua to come and help, and so that's what he's doing. So Joshua ascended from in verse 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him. You know, the Bible doesn't waste words. Now, he could have said he and all his friends, he and all the cooks, you know. No, he said men of war. Okay, people, the people of war, they came out with a specific task, and they were ready to do battle. And all the mighty men of valor, verse 8, and the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Joshua, therefore, came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. Now listen. One of the things I wanted to mention is, and if to answer this, how can one use their faith and make it stronger? One of the first things is we have got to get into the Word and make it a priority. You can't have something to hope for. You can't have something to look forward to. You can't have proper vision without getting into the Word of God. And if we don't make it a priority, we will not hear His voice or even be able to differentiate between His voice, my own voice, or the world. Amen? Joshua did not decide to come up. Now, we know Joshua was going to go and fight. Joshua was going to come. But God had to speak to Joshua and say, do not fear. The opposite of fear is faith. Do not fear. Do not look for this to be a negative outcome. I know there's five nations coming against you. But do not fear. I have already taken care of this. Not one of them will survive this. What a good word from God. When you get into His Word and start to hear Him speak back to you, you get confidence. And now your faith can start to take shape because you're not afraid to put movement to it. You're not afraid to step out and it starts to be a substance. Your movement starts to create something. Amen? So, notice it said Joshua. After having that word, it doesn't say this, but you can infer it by looking at this scripture, because it said he got the word from God. God came to him and spoke to him that he's got this thing, right? Joshua had confidence that God told him not to fear, but Joshua still had to walk all night. Okay? Now, Joshua's back in another generation. He's a different culture and everything. But today, I told you I want to bring it to where we are today. I want to keep referring back to us today. We want God to speak to us. We want to hear God tell us what He's going to do. But we also would like Him to do that without us having to put any investment in. God could have translated him over there. No, but God told him, I've got your back. You're going to win this thing. You still got to show up. You still got to go to that point. I told you God will give you instruction, but He also will give you the provision. The provisions don't show up until you get in line. So he had to walk all night and get in place so that God could show himself, right? So in verse 9, Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makeda. I'm butchering these words. In verse 11, and it happened as they fled before Israel, and now, listen to this, as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, whatever, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Now, listen, God doesn't waste words. So when he puts something in, he wants us to take something from it. I'm sorry, I keep laughing as I read this. And as I'm reading scripture and certain things jump out to me, and I'm just like, God, you're so cool. I just love how God does things. Because listen, I think a couple weeks ago, well, maybe more than that, when we were talking, Ivy and I was teaching about prophecy, we talked about how Samuel, a prophet, office of the prophet, how he chopped to pieces a king that Saul had brought back. He was supposed to have killed, but he didn't. There's something very tenacious about the people of God. When God gives you an instruction, you better fulfill it completely. Not halfway. Now, I'm going to tell on myself, and so I'm trying to watch my time. I'm going to tell on myself, so don't look at me funny. But if I watch a show, and sometimes I do watch a movie, that maybe they take out the enemy. And this guy, I'm like, you know what? Why do you hit the guy in the head? He falls down. You think he's done, and he shows back up in the show later. I'm like, daggone it. Chop that rascal's head off. Finish it. So as I'm reading this, that's what God's telling me. He's telling me, look, just because they started to retreat, don't think it's over. If they start running, I said not a man would survive. If they start running, you pursue them, overtake them, and finish it. We're soft at times in the church. Now listen, we're hard on our people when really God doesn't tell us to be hard on people. But he sure enough wants us to slay addictions, the enemy, the thing working behind the people, you know, pornography, masturbation, whatever it is, adultery, fornication, whatever, unforgiveness, bitterness, murmuring. There's things he wants us to utterly destroy. And you know, it's funny. We beat up on the enemy a little bit. He starts to retreat a little bit, and we're like, ah, cool. All right, I could go back to walk in this room that I know. Okay, it's good. No, let's kill that thing all the way. So notice what God said here. That when these guys tried to get away, they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones. Now listen, they're running away from Joshua and Gibeon. They're trying to get away because they're losing. They had to pursue them. And as they were pursuing them, just to make sure they didn't get away, God threw down hailstorms. Hailstones, right? And I love God because he's like, look, you do the investment. You put in the investment I required of you and see how much I do. Think about it. We get to keep 90% of our income. God gets 10%. Joshua went into battle and fought. He fought well, but evidently because they started running. But God said, now let me step in. Bam! Drops hailstones, right? God didn't leave it at that. He had to make sure we knew. By the way, I killed more than any of y'all. With my hailstones, I killed more than you guys. So I did my piece. I don't know if you see the humor in that. I just love God. He wants to make sure. Oh, I love it. God's provision is way bigger than us. Amen. So what does this mean? He's trying to tell you, whatever I told you to do, it's going to happen. Listen, whatever God's told you to do, you better pursue it. The ones laughing with you right now and think it's funny, the ones who are in your corner and got your back, and they love to see you clown and act a fool sometimes, God says, don't do it, because they are weak, and they're not going to have your back. God wants you to pursue him. Do all that he has for you to do, and you will see mighty, mighty things happen on your behalf. He wants to do it. He just wants you to get into him solely. And those people who want to lead you astray and cause you to do things over here, and you do that because it looks like they like you and embrace you, God says, no. Follow me, and they'll start following you. Amen? All right, that's specific for you, my friend. I'm sorry, right as I was going, God just started speaking that. Oh, it's going to be exciting, too. He's got something so good for you, boy. I'm telling you. So listen, I said if we're going to develop our faith, if we bring it to the real, we bring it to our present situation, first thing we have to do is make reading the Word of God the priority. You know, in Romans 10, 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Before people can even see that substance, before people can see evidence of something invisible, you've got to have faith. God's already given you a measure of faith, but we need our faith to get strong. And it says in Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to speak God's Word over us more and more and more. Trust me, as you do, there's some things you listen to right now that if you take away the Word of God, now listen, I found this, I've proved it. There are certain things that when I've been basking in God's presence and having a fast, there are certain things I can't listen to. I might have had an appetite for it before, but when I come back, for some reason, it's just turn it off. Turn it off. And I'm thinking, wow, I could watch that last week. I didn't feel too bad. Well, you just came off of a fast, and God's been fixing some things in your mind. Oh, okay. So as we get our heads into God more and into his Word more, he starts to teach us and show us and cause our faith to build up, right? And so once you have done that, now you've got to practice your skills. Amen? Because you cannot get into the Word of God without him starting to speak to you and reveal to you who you are and how he's gifted you. Amen? Remember that we were looking at that scripture there in Hebrews. And just to jump back there for one moment, you don't have to turn there. But in Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God wants you to be able to pull down the invisible and make it present. Those seats you're sitting on, they began in the invisible. Just a little seed of, I think we could do this. Wow, somehow I think I could come up with this. Wait a minute. God is saying he can. And next thing you know, something starts to germinate in you. You start to get a hope. And that hope starts, or that faith, that hope that you have causes you to move. And it's the substance of the things you're hoping for. That faith is the substance of things you're hoping for. So you start to see that, and you start to put movement with it. And it starts to become evidence that people can say, there's something happening over here. I can't see it. It's invisible. But this person is responding as if there's something there. Oh, God is good. You know, I said earlier, God, help us see that there's more of us than there is of them. You know, and just like Elijah had to do, open the eyes of my servant. And when he saw, God's chariots were all around in Scripture. God's chariots were all around them. He couldn't see that in the natural. If God allowed us, if he pulled back the veil a little bit and allowed us to see what's in here, you would see warring angels just flapping, like, give us a command. We're ready to go. Tell us what it is you need. So some of us, God told us to do some things. And you said, I can't do that. When I was coming up through school, a teacher told me that I would be stupid and I wouldn't amount to anything. She said, you can't read. And this teacher said some really nasty things to me. This was before I ever started getting up in front of people, before even singing or speaking in front of people. I was a young kid, and there was a time I did not think I could die correctly. I was so insecure. I thought, I'll even screw that up. I thought, when it's my time to die, I'm going to screw that up. I thought I couldn't do anything. My dad, who loved me, now don't get me wrong, he loved me. I know he did. But there would be times that he would say to me, son, I want you to go out in the garage and get me that crescent wrench. I'd go out there and couldn't find it. It's right there on the shelf. I don't see it, Pops. Boy, you ain't worth a dime. He'd go and get it. I can't do that right either. So I was starting to get faith in the wrong way. I was starting to get fear that I can't even do anything right. But oh my goodness, God started getting hold of me. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 12. I used to have dreams. This will sound weird, but I used to have dreams of just flying around him. That he was a big God, and I would go and rest in his arms, and he would speak to me. I would wake up from those type of dreams, where he would speak to me and tell me I was able to do this and able to do that. And I started getting some faith in me. And then one guy heard me sing, and he put me on the spot. And this is what I'm talking about. We have to be daring to go into the uncomfortable places. We don't want to be comfortable. If you will be comfortable, greatness will not show up. So this man, he heard me sing. I still didn't think I could do anything right. I didn't think I could ever stand up in front of people. Definitely don't ask me to read in front of people. Because I wasn't reading what was on the page. I was thinking, oh, you look stupid. You look stupid. They're going to hear you. You're not going to say it right. I couldn't even think about what was on the page. But this man said to me, look, you got a wonderful voice, Otis. My goodness, that's beautiful. Hey, everybody, he would call teachers from down the hall. I want you to come and hear Otis. He's going to do the solo on the Christmas concert. And I'm shaking. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And he had me sing in front of a group of teachers. There's about 15 of them. They just sat right there in his class. And they were just, oh, my goodness, how wonderful. And I'm still shaking. I'm scared. But something started rising up in me. Say, wow, they are actually looking at me as if I did something special. I did something unique. And they're looking at me like I'm worth something. So that started to build. That started to swell. And I started practicing that thing. And then people started talking about, oh my goodness, look at what you could do. And guess what? My abilities to do music started to take off. But then it also reached over into my other subjects. It wasn't about the work I was doing. It was about, who do I think I am? What do I think about me? And what I'm trying to tell us all in this place is, right now, if the devil can keep you thinking, nothing good can come from you, you'll never pull down the invisible. In the invisible, there's great things. There's companies you're owning. There's a spouse who will love you, and you won't have to sacrifice who you are at all. You'll be able to be real. There's somebody who would just love you for who you are. There's great ideas. You don't know. You might have the cure for cancer. Who knows? But the enemy does not want you to pull it down. I'm almost done. I know I've gone for a while. So that was step two. You must practice your skills. And it's always best to practice your skills when you don't have a reason. And what I mean by that is it's real. Sometimes we don't touch our Bible until Aunt May is in the hospital. And now you want to see if you can go heal her. Sometimes you don't touch your Bible till you hear mama and daddy going through a divorce. Or your best friend is demon possessed. Or into witchcraft. Have you ever been in that situation? I have. People that I loved find out they're in some demonic mess and you didn't know that it is even existed. When God opens your eyes that stuff is real and you're wondering, have I been in my word? Am I even strong enough? You practice before there's the reason because God wants you to know it. So if you hone in your skill, the next thing helps. Number three, ask God to help you identify opportunities beyond you. Beyond you is important. And that's what I was talking about, the teacher, who he put me in a place where I was awkward, uncomfortable, but I was going to grow. Listen, God does not show up. Let me be careful how I say this. I don't want you to leave here and think I said this wrong. If you can 100% do it by yourself, God is not going to waste resources to come in and help you there. It's like Seth and Jayden. There's stuff they need us to do, and I say, we'll do this for you. But then they also want us to do the stuff they can do for themselves. I'm not doing that. No, you get that. You can do that. I'll drive you there, but you can sure enough, I'm not tying your shoes. You're 12. You know? So understand, when it said, ask God to help you find opportunities beyond you. The beyond you part is very important. Because if you don't pick something that's beyond you, you don't have a reason to have faith and to hope and to struggle and to trust God to see you through it. You got to look on your opportunities to walk on some water. Because you're not supposed to do that based on what everything else tells you. But God wants to show up in a measure that will blow this world's mind. Remember, it's not for us. It's for what he wants us to accomplish. And I'm telling you, what's coming to us now, the world needs to see God's people stand up and proclaim his truth and not only be able to speak it, but to demonstrate this is God. I don't care what your books say about him. I don't care what they try to tell you about him. I don't care what the scientists tell you they've been able to manifest and create themselves. They cannot do and substitute what God does. Can't happen. But God just needs people who will stand up and do it. Step four is we must step out when God shows the opportunity. It's one thing for God to show you those opportunities that's beyond you. It's another thing to actually step out and walk through them. Amen? Now, I'm going to drop down here real quick, and I promise I'm almost done. I just got to read. Actually, this is important for me to hit this, and I'll close this thing down. Look in verse 13. Verse 13 of Joshua 10. Let's see. Yeah, in verse 13 it says, let's go to 12. So now God had just said, look, I took care of more of these, I took out more than you took out with the sword. And then in verse 12, then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Joshua said this out loud. It's one thing to speak something when nobody can hear you, but to speak it out loud, something so bold as this. Son, this is what he said to the sun. Sun, stand still over Gibeon. Moon and moon in the valley of Ajalon. Ajalon. Hopefully that's right. And then verse 13. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. A whole day it stood still. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now, that's an extreme move. I'm not telling you we can all go out there and tell the sun to move, because some of you might want the sun to stay still. Somebody else might want the sun to move, but we don't know. It always cracks me up when we pray for our football team to win, and as if there's no Christians on the other side who's praying on their team to win. So, you know, God just make the winner, the one who needs to win, come out the way it needs to. But the point is with this, him being able to speak, he had seen God move in such a level. I mean, God threw down hailstones, right? God told him, you're going to win against this army of five nations. And he did. But he wasn't done. He got so strong in his faith from seeing what God had done by him being obedient and being in the right place and allowing God's resource to show up. It built his faith even more so that he could speak to the sun and to the moon, hold your position. And God honored him. I'm trying to tell you, God will honor you if you will trust him and step out, regardless of how silly it sounds, as long as it's in the scripture. I'm not saying some crazy mess. It has to align with scripture. But that's why I said step one is get in the word. Know the word. So you, when you ask something, you request correctly. Amen? But when you're there, and now you're asking according to his will, and he shows you things, he's going to give you the ability to speak to things, and they are going to move. You will be able to call things out of the invisible into the visible, and people are going to say, how'd you get that? And you'll be able to say, I saw this coming a while back. You just get to see the manifestation, but I've been trusting God on this. I've been calling this building right now as a piece of that. Hearing the stories of how you came to this place. There probably was a time you imagined what the lights would look like and how would the sound sound in the building. God is a good God. I hope you've been encouraged. The last part is number five. You must give him the praise regardless of the outcome. Give him the praise regardless of the outcome. If you've done everything I just talked about, those steps, you believe you heard from God. You've identified that opportunity that's beyond you. You've moved on that opportunity. Regardless if it looks like it failed or prospered, give him the praise. Because sometimes a failure looks bad. But sometimes it's just what God wanted. Because he's setting you up for the war. It looks like you've been knocked down. But no, you're not down. I'm still setting a scene, God says. So give him a praise regardless. Amen? All right. That's all I've got. I hope you receive that. Amen. Let's give God some praise right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God. Father God, I just thank you right now for today. And I ask that this word did what you wanted it to do, Father God. I just thank you that we will seek those opportunities that are beyond us and our church, our region, our city, Father God, will just explode with your manifested will in the earth. We thank you for it right now. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And you do it according to the power that is at work in us. You told us that in Ephesians 3:20. We believe it. If we can think it, Father God, you can exceed it. And so we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer, feel free to come up. We will pray for you, the intercessors, and as well as the elders.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.